Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Life in Hex. I'm Stefan.
And I'm Delana.
And this show is going to be a bit of a long show, isn't it?
It's going to be a fun, feature-filled, packed show.
We're probably going to max out an hour, most likely.
Definitely. I mean, we've got an hour slot on DDP Hack Radio.
Which is what's limiting to us, so we better get going.
No
messing about this episode.
First of all, we've got we've got a real email. This is an email, and it says, "Dear Gelada and Sephram, I've been listening to your show at work the past couple of days since the guys over at BinRev Radio listed you as site of the day.
Woo!
I had a ton of comments over the last four episodes, but I can only remember two of them."
Charming.
Shonen is pronounced Shonin, as in ninny. Also, if you liked Ichigo 100%, Sephram,
which I did,
you might want to check out Eyes. Is that Eyes?
Yes, Eyes.
Eyes, Video Girl AI, and DNA. I don't think it's the same author, but it's definitely in a similar style. Thanks,
the abstruse one. So, yeah.
Thank you very much, the abstruse one, for
Thank
your email.
Thank you ever so much. When we read that, we were like, oh, wow.
Yeah, first and downloaded the episode of BinRev, and we're like,
oh, my God, we're listed. That
Black Ratchet
quite
listens
cool.
to our show. Hi, Black Ratchet, if you're listening.
Hi, Stank Dog. Hi, Black Ratchet. Hi, Strom, if he
all
listens to.
Yeah.
Hi, all DDP. Hello,
hi, all
DDP.
DDP, and all of the people listening at BinRev Radio.
And on DDP Hack Radio.
Yep.
So yeah, that was a really good email for us to get. It was quite a morale boost, I would say.
So have you checked out Eyes, Video Girl, AI, and DNA?
I haven't actually looked at any of them because I've only just realised it. Although I think I've heard of this DNA once before.
I've heard of DNA.
Now, he's either meaning two series. He's either meaning DNA Angel, which is what me and Yamara are really into. Or he's meaning another series called DNA Squared, which is another. I've not actually seen it before, but I know of it, and apparently it's quite funny. So.
All right, cool. Speaking of Yamara, before we move any on.
Yeah, I think we didn't actually...
We are apologising to you, Yamara. I'm just speaking to him on IRC now.
Last show, I think he got kind of annoyed at us for maybe taking the mickey a bit too much.
Yes. So we apologise.
We apologise.
We didn't mean any of it. He's really cool, really.
No, so. You are a cool guy. I mean, I'm not like... I didn't mean it.
We'll get him on the show sometime.
Yeah, get on your show. You can maybe do an anime review for us or something.
Definitely.
That'd be cool. So no hard feelings, mate. And
speak to Sephron.
Yeah, you know, stop cold shouldering me, dude. It's all good.
But that's really cool. So thanks, the abstruse one.
Thank you very much for that.
We'd also like to plug our t-shirts or apparel or however you pronounce that word.
Yeah, just our goodies.
Yeah, if you go onto lifeinhex.com and you can click. Do you remember that off SMTV?
Click. I do indeed. That was amazing.
Click on apparel, and if people like them, we'll do some more. But at the moment, there's a couple of designs there. We're limited by Cafe Press, which sucks, but you know, if people like them and we get any buyers at all, then
like to see selling the most is the DS Friends Code one.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
I'd like to get people to start emailing us and telling us their friends code so they can get a t-shirt with their friends code on.
Because I think that's a really cool idea, in my opinion. It was my idea, but...
No, it's a really good idea. Mm. Okay, is that all the housekeeping?
That is all the housekeeping.
All right, let's
over
get on.
To you.
This is the life section of the show.
And I don't have a life, so I'm going to shut up.
Yeah, absolutely no life here, so it's just me. Right, three things, really. I mean, they're not overly like exciting, oh my god, things, but just things I'd like to mention. First thing, okay, plugs to Pacamac. He's the one who found this for me. He spotted it on eBay, and he decided to show me, and I was like, oh my god, I really shouldn't, but I'm going to anyway because I'm like that. But I bought from eBay a box set, or like a kind of collection of box sets, of all the Tenchi episodes.
Right.
Now, Tenchi's an anime. Mm-hmm. It's like it's quite an old anime now. I think it's like 1994 or something, if you know, the emails. just a quick plug there. It's quite an old anime, but it's considered a really good one, kind of like an original and a classic, so to speak. And I mentioned it before. I mean, it was when I did the Ichigo 100% review. I mentioned it, didn't I? Because I said it was one of the first that started off with the harem type anime type
you
things.
Did.
Yeah. But I bought that, so I bought the OAV series, the two TV series, and the movies for £55.
Nice.
Nine DVDs.
That's eBay. Yes.
That is eBay indeed.
£55, $80.
Yeah, but no, more than that. $90.
Yeah, you're right.
$90, maybe $100.
I can't convert.
But yeah, it's around there. But it's not that much for nine DVDs.
You're right.
All those episodes. And it's very nostalgic because I remember watching it when it was first released over here on Cartoon Network.
Yes.
It was like 4 years ago. And I remember watching it. It was like one of my first anime. I was like, wow.
Cool.
So that was definitely worth the money. I've had a bit of a busy weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, you were part of this busy weekend.
I was part of this busy weekend.
Only slightly.
Thanks. I'll just go back to writing on my Fedora Core 4 DVDs.
On Friday, was supposed to be... It all started on Friday, basically. It was supposed to be a really good time. We were supposed to go out with some friends. Well, I was supposed to go out with some friends. Go to Quasar. I think we mentioned Quasar before, haven't we? Yeah, we have.
We must. Yeah, we mentioned it about Tazata and that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we went out to Quasar, which was going to be fun. Unfortunately, though, that kind of went, really went downhill because as I arrived, some of our friends in our group got assaulted by some. I'd say about 15.
makes it sound like we're in some really bad neighbourhood. Like,
it's not that bad of an area, really. It's just I think it was just unlucky, wrong time, wrong place. You know.
Yeah.
And I think they just wanted cigarettes or something. And because they didn't,
and they assaulted you.
Because they didn't have any.
Lesser.
I wasn't there at the time. I arrived as it was ending, so I feel really bad about that. Mm. But hey, you know, that's just causality for you. But as I arrived, I thought it was just my group of friends just messing about, having a good time, you know, making a bit of noise. But then I found out that, I mean, I got to the entrance of the Quasar entrance and everything, and I see one of the girls standing there, blood pouring from her mouth and nose.
Lovely.
So that was all cancelled.
Bad I didn't come.
Yeah, exactly. Would have been bad if you did.
Mm.
But no, she's all right now. She's fine.
Good.
Which is further showed by what happened the next day on Saturday. I realised what the hell the time was and I had to run out because I was going to an ice hockey match with the girls from last night. The previous night, rather.
Yep.
They were all fine with it and everything. They weren't too worried about going back. Because it's quite ironic, actually. The ice hockey rink is right next door to Quasar.
All right.
So we were returning. You knew that, didn't you? But that was really good, despite the fact we lost, which kind of sucked. But never mind.
Never mind.
They scored in the last 1.06 seconds.
Oh my God.
Which was quite impressive. And we were like, yes!
And then realised that you lost. So.
Yeah, well. So that was a cool evening. We're going to go out next Saturday. We're going to do the same thing again next Saturday.
Cool.
So you can come if you want.
No.
But you're not going to, are you?
No.
Didn't think so. And last but not least, on Sunday, and I went to the cinema. I saw a film called Derailed. Mm-hmm. Heard of that?
Yes.
No. It was all right, actually. I mean, I was expecting kind of like a typical American thriller type piece of rubbish that was just going to be so predictable, you know.
Yeah.
Quite boring. But actually, it wasn't that bad. I kind of... The story itself was quite interesting in the way it was done, and I didn't actually predict what was going to happen until quite late on.
Mm.
I mean, I knew there was something up within the movie, and I could tell that one of the characters was up to no good, but I couldn't really tell what was going on until it all kind of like started falling in place, and then I got it and everything. Everyone else was like, what's going on? But I twigged it eventually. But no, it's quite a good movie, and if you're into kind of maybe like not thriller, but kind of like a mystery type thing, or you know, kind
so
of
would you recommend it?
Recommend to anyone who's into real life or slightly unrealistic kind of crime drama type stuff.
Right, okay.
But anyone who doesn't like kind of maybe killing or uneasy mood, so to speak.
Bro.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, recommend it if you're into kind of like the dark, gritty stuff. But otherwise, if you're into like comedies or like James Bond style action, don't go and see it. You won't like it.
Okay.
So. Now, generally, we got good feedback on the manga section we did last week on Ichigo 100%.
Mm.
And this is shown by the Abstrusus one, sorry. He said he quite liked that and he suggested some things.
And also,
Yamaru emailed us to tell us some of the other things he'd like us to review. We can't obviously do them all in one big go because he's listed quite a few there.
But this, we will keep these in line as sort of, you know.
I'm definitely going to try and review as many as I can and maybe look at some of them. And talk about them in the future.
Yep.
So,
cool.
thank you.
Maybe get him on, of course.
Yeah, get him on. Maybe he can do a review for him. I mean, it's one that he really wants us to do called Suka.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually know anything about that. I've never seen it. I've never really know about it. So,
speaking of Yamaru.
Oh, he's talking.
Yamaru is just talking to me now.
Hello, Yamaru.
We're just reading out his email as well.
If he wants to come onto the show and do a review for that, you know, no worries. And if you want us to talk about a certain anime, email us and let us know.
If it's not on this long list,
it probably won't be because there's so many anime out there. It's scary. Just check out animenewsnetwork.com. Amazing. Anyway, so I think we're going to stick with having a manga section every episode.
Yeah, I think we will actually, you know,
unless we really push for time, for example.
Yeah, then I think we should start doing it because clearly, you know, there aren't many good podcasts that do anime manga stuff.
No, there aren't.
It sort of broadens our audience because it's very popular, and you know, so
exactly.
Cool.
And I've chosen a rather interesting manga to review this week. Mm-hmm. Now, it's one that most people probably won't heard of because it's kind of like a low key one. Not many people have heard of before, and it's not a very popular one either. But I quite liked it. It's called Chrono Code, and it's interesting to say the least.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, it was published by Tokyopop, which is the main publisher for manga in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's the main publisher in the US. It probably is.
Mm.
But it's a Korean manga. It's not a Japanese one.
Oh, right.
And you can tell that from the get-go.
Mm.
And I've listed its good points and its bad points, really, in the show notes. So I'm just going to run through them.
Pie? Sorry, Yamara just said get the word pie in there somewhere.
Pie, okay. Pie.
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 I love pie.
I like pie too. Strawberry pie and Ichigo pie. So yeah, Chrono Code, it's an interesting manga. Mm. The story is really different. It's quite an interesting storyline the way it's done. Now, the first book is set in 1994. I think that was probably when it was like written. Mm. Or maybe a bit later than that, but it's quite an old manga.
Mm.
So it was set back in 1994, and it's about this girl looking for her brother that turns out to be a government experiment who was kind of like escaped and stuff.
Right.
The actual story is kind of like about temporal rifts and stuff. It's quite interesting.
Right. But I'm sure I've heard of it actually. Maybe I've heard of something else that started with Chrono.
Chrono Crusade, most likely. That's
no,
quite a popular
one. No, it wasn't there. It was definitely something all one word. Like Chrono. Maybe I'm just making it up, but I'm sure I've heard of something.
Well,
like this.
It's quite interesting. She's looking for her brother, and she seems like she's just an average schoolgirl, but she turns out to be something much more. I won't like say any more to spoil it.
Okay.
And the second book is set in the future. It's set in 2274, which is the time when really this whole thing is set. And there's a war between four factions or four federations, because like there's been a war going on for a long time, and it's between like the four greatest nations on Earth. So you've got the African one, you've got the Eurasian, so that's Europe and Asia. 1984, anyone?
Mm.
Very similar to that.
Oh yeah, you're right.
You've got the American Federation, and you've got the Australian and something other federation.
Mm.
Something like that.
I can't remember.
Alright, whatever. I can't remember reading it. But it's about these two agents who work for the Eurasian governments who have to go about getting access to a satellite called Riverside, which is kind of like the ultimate satellite in terms of reconnaissance and everything. So they can maybe end the war, basically. They can, with the satellite code, they can win the war. Mm. Which is why they're after it. And it goes on about like kind of a war and everything, and it's really good stuff. It's really interesting, but it's quite cool and different as well in terms of its storyline.
Alright.
So if you're into kind of like sci-fi and kind of like time rifts and action and everything, definitely want to check out. Now, as I mentioned, the art style is definitely Korean. Mm. You can tell the second you open the book, despite the fact that it's like left to right instead of right to left, it's Korean, because it's easy to distinguish between Korean and Japanese art styles. I don't know what it is, but you can definitely tell the difference. There's definitely a big difference. And the other good thing about the Chrono Code manga is that its scripting is really consistent. Although it's really, when you think about it, the storyline is seriously complicated.
Right.
Right. It's a complex storyline. You've got to really think about it. But the way the script works and the characters' speech and everything, it really helps you to understand quite easily what's going on. It's never confusing the hell out of you, so you don't know what the hell's going on. It's always quite consistent, which is a good thing. Now, here's the bad stuff. Although it's really well done and it gets it covered within it, it's only two books long. There's only two manga in the series.
All right.
Which is kind of cool in the fact that it's kind of nice to have a short series, but at the same point it's really sucky, because if you had a series, a whole long like series, like 10, 15 volumes set in the exact same universe, if the story was well done, it could be a really good series, because I mean the story could easily handle it. You could really do a really deep story with this series and this universe. I think it'd be really good. So it's kind of sucky that it's only two volumes long.
Okay.
The art style is sometimes confusing, especially in the big fight scenes, despite the fight scenes aren't actually very long. When there's like something going on, like sword fighting or gun fighting, etc., it's kind of hard to see what's going on. Remember I mentioned that last time, the Ichigo 100% review?
Yeah.
I mentioned the difference between complex style. So that it's kind of complex, and it's kind of hard to see what's going on sometimes, in my opinion. And again, the fight scenes are fairly short-lived and relatively predictable, because like, it's kind of like standing around going, oh, I'm going to kick your ass. No, I'm going to kick your ass. And then they like kick each other's ass in like a second. It's like they run at each other, they disappear, they cut each other, and that's it.
Mm.
It's all right, but it's very predictable. You know what's going to happen in the fight scenes. There's no surprises. And the characters, in my opinion, are a little too perfect, so to speak. They're a bit too pretty. They're a bit too handsome. They're a bit too... They don't have any flaws. You know, they seem very pretty boyish or very, you know, beautiful woman type-esque type thing. Overall, it's a very enjoyable read for anyone who's into the sci-fi time travel stuff and a futuristic, realistic war. Even though it's like got these like Cronoid things running around, you could really believe that in like 200 years' time, this could happen.
Right.
So I think it's quite realistic in that sense. Not recommended for anyone who doesn't want... It wants a long series, because it's only two books long.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a fan of Korean manga, stay clear, because this is about as Korean as you can get.
Right, okay.
So overall...
Apart from stuff that's actually in Korean.
Well, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay, I get the point. But overall, 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah.
Kind of cool, kind of sucky.
Kind of cool, but definitely got its flaws.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that's the manga section.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
Have you enjoyed that?
Yes. We've got some gaming stuff.
We have indeed.
Well, you've got a couple of things to talk about?
Yeah, I've just got a few short things to talk about, not very long bits. Now, the first one is kind of a big announcement, actually. It's a shame it wasn't released a little bit sooner, as we couldn't talk about it last week.
It is, because we've got our big bit coming up next about Windows Vista.
But it's about the DS Lite.
Yeah. Now, this is... cool.
This is very cool.
It is cool.
Now, just while we're talking about this, you want to go and check it out, you go to tinyurl.com/...
Forward slash.
There's a forward slash in there.
Yep.
9C83R. That's
a link to Four Color Rebellion, is it?
I think it is, yes.
I think it is. Yeah. I can't remember now. I
can't remember what you made.
It's a link somewhere.
But it's it'll take you a link to to DS Lite.
Yep.
Where
so you can look more and get some pictures and
that's
stuff.
So that's tinyurl.com/9C83R.
Yep.
I'm quite looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm considering maybe trading in my DS and getting a DS Lite instead.
You're mad. But
well, I know, but they look really nice.
Your DS is also really scratched.
My DS is really scratched. It's kind of like clunky as well. I mean,
it would
be
cool if you had a DS Lite, but it's also, I mean, I would certainly not get one because my DS is in perfect condition and I like it, so there's no reason for me to buy one, but I can see why. I can see the attraction, so to say.
Well, it's a lot lighter.
Mm.
It's going to probably be cheaper, in my opinion. It looks like it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah.
It's smaller.
Although what will probably happen is that the original DSs will go down in price.
And these
the
will
DS
go up
Lights
in price,
will be the standard price.
Yes, most likely. We'll it's lighter. It's really nice colour method. The plastic's not cheap anymore.
All right.
It's going to be quite a nice feeling plastic. Mm. I mean, don't remember, the DS plastic doesn't feel too bad, but it feels a bit thrown together and cheap.
Yeah,
you know.
You're right. Compared to the PSP,
yeah, it
feels
doesn't
a lot
look
better.
Shiny enough. It doesn't look anything. But it's going to be the kind of like it's going to be the Revolution White or
what? So is it just Revolution
well,
White?
Well, from pictures we've seen from Nintendo themselves, it's just the Revolution White, that kind of color.
Someone had like a
but
Photoshop.
There was a Photoshop version of it in black, which might not be Photoshop. We don't know. I didn't actually look.
It would be really cool if it was in black.
But the Photoshop color version, black color version of it, looked really, really nice.
Yeah, it did. So I mean, that looks a lot better. But then you have problems with like it expanding in the heat and stuff. So. Yes.
Yeah, okay, sure, whatever.
It's true.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely going to at least try one out.
It'd be interesting to see how the sales reflect the launch of the DS Lite, to see whether it has an impact on sales.
Another little quickie by me.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Animal Crossing Wild World thing, which is kind of ironic since we haven't even got it over there in this country yet.
No.
But it's been on the internet quite a bit, actually. It was on Four Color Rebellion. It was on some other websites like Dig. And it's about this thing called the Animal Crossing Red Tulip Epidemic.
Mm.
Now, you want to go and check this out, what we're talking about, just as we just said. It's tinyurl.com, ABY6B.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it is there was a message. You know in Animal Crossing you get sent letters?
Yeah, and they had like a present from Nintendo, didn't they?
That's right.
Or whatever it was.
But this one was from blank. It was from blank, right? And the thing is, when you opened it, you got a red tulip.
Right.
Like a flower, red tulip. Which is all well and good. It was just a standard flower if you planted it outside. However, if you planted it in your house or put it in a plant bulb in your house, right, it would take full bloom and you couldn't move it.
Right.
And that was always then. It would never be able to get away. So people are stuck with red tulips in their house now.
Really?
You can't get rid of
it. You can't get rid of it
no.
at all.
It's some kind of bug. Some people think it might be a hacker's attempt to show that Nintendo needs to work on their systems, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Other people just think it's just a bug that Nintendo forgot to work out.
Yeah, because isn't it like... people reckon it's just like Nintendo have like half-assed something and then
probably
released it without actually
so
finishing it.
Nintendo are trying to contemplate their move and what they're going to do to be able to get rid of this because I mean it's
you
not
need
good
to, you need to somehow be able to send little bits of code in the letters like that. I wonder if they've actually done that to like send updates to people
perhaps
by little email-y things. That would be really cool.
Be interesting if they could do that. It'd be really cool.
Because then you could fix that.
Yeah,
you could,
easily.
You could just have a little thing that wiped them.
Interesting to know. If you know, email us.
Yeah, if you know, email us. Nintendo, email us.
Yes, Nintendo. Of course, you listen to our show.
So cool.
It would be very cool indeed.
I've got a little thing I want to talk about now. That I personally, I think this is really cool.
No, I think it's cool too. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome you've done this.
Mm. Now, I don't know. You may or may not know about the DS Wi-Fi system, but it requires a wireless network. Now, if you haven't got a wireless network, you can go out and buy a DS Wi-Fi controller, which is a little USB dongle. You plug it into your computer, you run this little registration program, and basically it creates an ad hoc wireless network. Basically, there's nothing else to it, but it works with the DS because it's got this registration program. Now, I haven't got one of these, and I haven't got a wireless network, but what I have got, I don't know why I'm picking it up, but what I have got is a Buffalo Air Station USB stick. Now, if you actually look, I'm going to have an article up soon, and I'll post a link to it on Life in Hex, because I'm going to write an article about what I did. But if you look, they look exactly the same.
They're
as
identical
the DS Wi-Fi
in terms
controllers.
Of their looks.
And that's because the Nintendo DS Wi-Fi controller is actually supplied by Buffalo. That sort of side of things is powered by Buffalo. And that's why on the DS you have that AOSS thing.
Yes.
And that's a Buffalo technology for connecting to access points. But what I thought is, there can't be that much difference between them. I thought maybe there's something weird about them, but I read up on a few forums, and I don't think anyone has done what I've done, but people mentioned that it's just a soft AP driver. Soft AP is like a way of making Wi-Fi client devices act as an access point when they're not. And it's basically, some people say it's just that, and that runs on an RT500 USB chipset or something like this. So I thought, I'll give it a go. So I managed to find on the web, you can download an update for the Nintendo DS drivers. But it actually is the full thing, it's not just an update. So I downloaded that and had a look in the INI files and tried to get it to run. And basically, to cut a long story short, I did a bit of... there's INI files, essentially, where you have to just change a couple of numbers to change it so that it recognises that this and thinks that it's a DS Wi-Fi controller. And then you have to use a hex editor to hex edit some of the DLLs and to change that for the internet connection sharing. But the long and short story of it is that I tricked my computer into thinking that it has a Nintendo DS Wi-Fi controller.
You have indeed.
So I, without buying anything at all, managed to get my Buffalo Air Station thingy, which I got for free off someone when they were replacing them, as a Nintendo DS Wi-Fi controller.
So now you're on Nintendo DS.
What's quite interesting is that there's actually no difference at all. The only difference is the manufacturer's ID of the device. So I'm going to post an article up and see if anyone's interested.
People will be interested.
I mean, people have probably got these things, but it's quite interesting. I enjoyed my little hacky thing. I mean, I've never really... It's like really, really pathetic reverse engineering.
Oh, yeah,
because
is.
You're not actually reverse engineering the driver, but you are hex editing it, because you can't do this sort of thing in Notepad.
No.
Because it won't work. So that was really cool. Really enjoyed doing that. And it proves that they're exactly the same.
It does indeed.
It's quite cool. And it means I have DS Wi-Fi, which is awesome. But anyway, moving on, because we're going to run out of time. But yeah, so that's all our... gaming and stuff.
Yeah,
we've got a big tech section coming up.
Yeah,
so
we have.
We're going to interlude with some music. We didn't have any music prepared, so
we'll admit the fact that we didn't actually think about music until just a second ago.
But we, of course, have some standby music. And so, once again, good old Brother Love.
Brother Love
is he's released 3 MP3s onto the web for pod shows,
which we have all played now.
Have we played 2 of them?
We played Summertime and
Push. Okay, so this is the 3rd one, which is There She Goes. Now, I think you'll enjoy this. It's a really good track. So, hope you like it.
Yes, go for it. Hit it, Gelada.
Hit it.
Get down! to tell the glorious, glorious tales.
You're such a cutie pie, and I really love your band. But I have a boyfriend.
No! I don't want to be a little married boy. I only want to be your brand loving toy. Kiss that guy. Smells real nice. Oh! There she goes, there she goes, there she goes again. When she goes, no one knows who or where she's been. And I should know that she'll be back again. There she goes, there she goes, there she goes again. Table for one. Such a sucker. Bye.
Okay, welcome back. We hope you enjoyed Brother Love. There she goes. Thank you very much again for being absolutely awesome.
Third and last song on.
Yep, unfortunately. He needs to release some more on the.
Hope he does soon, because I do like Brother Love's song.
Anyway, we've got our tech section now. And this is a sort of special of the show.
This is the main focus of the show. The
main focus of the show, and this is sort of stuff I've been researching into because it's really interesting, and hope everyone else finds it interesting as well. Otherwise, you're going to be bored for the next
about half hour,
half hour or something. Ow, that hurt my teeth. But yeah, so we're going to talk about Windows Vista.
Windows Vista.
Yes.
The latest Windows operating system.
Yes, well, it will be when it's released. That's one thing, actually, I must say at the beginning. No idea when it's going to be released. Did have a look.
I don't think there's a date yet, anyway.
Well, like, sometime 2007, I reckon, because it's been pushed back and pushed back. But anyway, let's get going.
So, where did it all start?
First it was called Windows Longhorn, which is what most people know it by. It was only recently renamed to Windows Vista. It all started in around 2003, and it was called codename Blackcomb. And
interesting.
At the start, it was just like they did some user interfaces and stuff. There was lots of fake stuff, you know, people photoshopping stuff. But that was basically as all things start. I mean, Windows XP was originally codenamed Whistler. In late summer 2005, they moved to community technical previews, which is basically a buzzword. As you will hear a lot of buzzwords over the next.
A lot of buzzwords.
There's a lot of buzzwords.
Every time there's a buzzword, we'll go buzz or something.
We're going to leverage our buzzwords.
Leverage. We'll leverage our matrix interface and,
yes.
And oh, all those
Visterifies everything.
Yes, yes, indeed.
But before community technical previews, it was beta 1 and beta 2. And before that, it was like the build 4075 and whatnot. Allegedly, they get more feedback from the community now that they're community technical previews. I don't know what that means, but.
So, what kind of program features are there going to be?
Well, yeah, I mean, the sort of back-endy type stuff. There's three things, really, but one of them, WinFX, is just like an overall programming app.
Yes.
But the two things that really interest me, now I'm going to give their code names because I know them by their code names, and that's Avalon and Indigo. Now, Avalon is the code name for the Windows Presentation Foundation. Now, what this basically is the sort of the graphical-based side of Windows. Now, you've originally had a 2D API for Windows, and then you've had DirectX for doing the 3D. Now what will happen is all the graphics for your user interface, your games, everything, all will be routed through Direct3D. Now, we've kind of discussed that this is a bad move in our opinion, because you're going further and further into that sort of, nice Mac OS-y type look, but yet you're going to actually need a graphics card just to run Windows.
People are going to have good computers just to run this system.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
my computer would struggle.
Onboard graphics are going to have to be turned up a notch.
You wouldn't be able to have onboard graphics with Vista, would you?
At the moment, there are very few graphics cards that actually support Avalon, and there's like one type of onboard graphics card or something I remember reading. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But there are some really cool things. First of all, everything will become based on Vector, which is lines and basically telling
which
you how
is
to
very
draw lines
cool.
and circles. This is really cool because it means that icons will be fully scalable. I mean fully scalable. You'll be able to scale them to like have the recycle bin the size of the desktop, that sort of thing.
And it'll still look perfectly normal.
And it'll still look perfect. It'll also mean that I think their fonts are now going to be Vector. Because at the moment, fonts have always been pixel-based. You know, TrueType fonts, even ClearType, is just pixels with a bit of smoothing around the side. But it'll all be completely Vector, which means, again, really nice-looking fonts. I've seen images, and it looks nice.
Yet again, Mac.
Yeah, it's yet again we're looking at more sort of Mac-y type stuff. This also means it'd be really cool on high-resolution monitors. So you can have, massive monitors, 32-inch monitors, and you'll still be able to increase the dots per inch, and it won't look crap.
Yes.
All web pages will all look really nice, and the vector bits of it will all look really nice.
Look pretty.
Which links with, what's it called? Scalable vector graphics, mm-hmm. which are coming in for web applications, which will probably link with this. But it uses XAML, which is like XML, and it stands for Extensible Application Markup Language. Basically, it's a shorthand for writing user interfaces. Now, I've had a look at some examples of this. It looks exactly like XML. But what you would have is you could have it in this XAML format, and say a window with a button, and inside that, and that button would actually have an image inside it, or you could have a media file inside it. It basically, everything is compatible with everything. You can actually use media as buttons, as I just said, and that sort of thing. It doesn't matter what, you can use everything everywhere basically. But it would, to create a window with a button and an image is 5 lines of XAML code in Avalon.
Mm-hmm.
To do it in C, it takes 40 lines. So you can see how this is going to really shorten things, and you can have the really cool effect on small lines of code, which is great.
It'll make programming a lot quicker and a lot more efficient.
Exactly, and you won't have to worry about, it is making programming even higher level. So, you're going up yet one more notch. So, for example, like C is very low level. Assembly is the lowest level. And then you've got like C, C++, and then you've got like things like Perl and Python, which are higher level. And then you're going to have this sort of Avalon and XAML and XML, which is really high level stuff. To sum it all up, Avalon is going to unify 2D, 3D media and user interface.
Yep.
Everything is going to run through Avalon, and you're going to have 3D in your normal Windows and all this sort of thing.
Which will look cool.
It will look very cool. I've seen some screenshots and some movies. It looks really nice. Everything moves wonderfully and rotates and then you realise you're looking at an image of a Mac because it's just so similar.
I know. They're just trying to cash in on Mac's success.
The other thing, which is more of a back-end type thing than Avalon, is Indigo, which is codename for the Windows Communication Foundation. This is like a back-end for communicating between programs, and it's based on the .NET framework, as most of this stuff is, which is kind of a buzzword. Basically, over a network, you will be able to interact all your programs through Indigo, and regardless of what the program is, they will all be able to interact with each other if they are using this Indigo back-end.
Yeah.
So, but it also links with the fact that Windows, Microsoft themselves are having programs that have peer-to-peer in them. They're going to have peer-to-peer stuff in their programs. For example, there's like a collaboration program that uses peer-to-peer.
Right.
And I remember when this was announced on, it was going to be Dig or Slashdot or something, there was loads of people going, oh my God, Microsoft is condoning file sharing. It's absolutely nothing like that.
No.
But they're using the peer-to-peer idea for their software, which is really cool. It means you don't have to have Microsoft servers doing anything. It all runs between themselves.
Probably
save
them
stuff.
A lot of money.
Yeah. So that's really cool. I don't know much about it because I'm not a real programmer, so I don't know a lot about how it works and stuff. But if you can actually already develop or start developing for Windows Vista, because they've released beta versions of their SDKs and WinFX, which is a programming API. And you can go and check that out at msdn.microsoft.com/Windows Vista. I'm going to actually download and have a poke about and see what I can do. Get myself a free copy of Visual C Express. Not illegal. They do actually have a free Express copy.
I believe you.
So that's the programming side of things.
Right, okay. So that's all the, kind of like the core of Windows Vista.
The back end stuff, yeah.
Yeah, there is stuff that you won't really notice unless you're a programmer yourself. Mm-hmm. But so how does it all install? How does it all work?
Okay, the installation itself takes a lot of things from Apple. Originally, if you look at the original Windowsy type things, you've got a bar down the left, and then stuff on the right, and you've got box and stuff telling you what to do and stuff, and you've got like five steps or something. Yeah, Apple, in their installations, you have a window in the middle, and you have like some fancy wallpaper in the background, and it's very simple. Microsoft have copied this. They've got some grass in the background.
Ooh.
Translucent window borders around the edge, and nice shiny rounded buttons, Avalon and Indigo providing the back end.
Sounds euphoric.
And you will have just two steps. Step one, collecting information, and step two, installing. They're basically lots of steps in two steps, so you've still got all the
same
thing.
They just shortened it up, that's all.
So, but a few cool things that happen in the background is that if you have a network connection, so and you're being assigned, you know, a DHCP, you're being assigned an IP address or whatever, it will actually automatically download updates and download components, if it can, off the Microsoft website.
Which is useful and cool.
I'm hoping that it will automatically download Windows updates so that when you reinstall, you don't have to go through all, like, 52 million Windows updates.
Yes.
Allegedly, also, it's got a very quick install, and the staged build, now, I'm not quite sure what this is, so go and have a look if you're interested, can take, allegedly, just 15 minutes. Apparently,
which
it's more like
very fast.
Apparently, it's more like 30 minutes, but 15 minutes allegedly.
So as you mentioned just then, they said about you revamping some stuff. So
yeah.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, the user interface. The user interface is called Aero, which is actually an acronym, believe it or not, for Authentic, Energetic, Reflective, and Open.
Bzzzt, 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 and yeah, I'll give the last one a bzzzt too.
Back to the whole Avalon thing with the graphics being routed through Direct3D. There's lots and lots of pretty effects in Vista. I think they probably really hit you when you turn it on. I don't know, but from what I've gathered, there's things like rounded buttons. There's lots of translucency. So, for instance, all the borders are actually translucent, and they're real-time translucent, so you can actually see windows behind them as well.
Right.
And behind that. So it's not just like the background of your wallpaper. It's actually real translucency through the Direct3D and stuff.
Yes.
Luckily, this can be easily disabled. If you go into the Vista control panel, and you go into like the display, there's a button that just says disable translucency. You press it, and that's it. Gone. It's done. But obviously, as we mentioned before, there's a lot of scalability. You can really stretch icons and stuff because it's all vector-based. There's extra high DPI settings and high resolutions, and it's actually apparently completely and utterly totally usable at 2000 plus times 2000 plus resolution,
which is crazy.
I mean, at the moment you cannot do that. If you get like a 2000 time monitor, you know, like a 40 inch monitor, Windows does not look good. You have to peer right up against it to get those to see the icons.
Yeah,
but it'll all be vector and you'll be able to stretch everything, and that's really great.
It'll look quite sexy.
It will look it does. I mean, unfortunately, it would be even better if Mac hadn't done it already.
Yeah, I know.
It does look really cool.
But for Windows, it'll be very different for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the system, the basic of the system and how it all works.
Yep.
So what all kind of cool stuff is there going to be with, you know, with the system, coming with the mm-hmm. system, especially IE7?
Now, yeah, IE7 is a good point, very good point.
Thank you.
because the IE7 public preview beta 2 has just been released. This is what happens when Google releases everything as beta. You start getting preview betas, which is like
stupid,
before the
it?
Beta.
But I've had call it an alpha.
I don't know. But I've had a play around with it. It's taken a lot of stuff from Firefox, obviously, because Firefox has been so successful.
Yeah,
And they've got tab browsing, which is great.
Naturally.
Yeah. And they also have this thing called Quick Tabs, which is a little button, and it shows all your tabs, a bit like Expose-like, which is a Mac thing when you press a button and all your windows sort of shuffle outwards to the edge and you can see all your windows. So it's a bit like that. That's really cool. You can actually do that in Firefox with an extension called Reveal, I think. Which is really cool. Obviously, it's good that they've got tabs at last. They fixed a lot of the CSS, or they allege that they fixed all the CSS. This is really a design thing.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, it's still screwy because they still haven't fixed the tabs on my site. So that's it. No, screwy, pathetic. but they have fixed a lot of things. You can go and check out IE blog, which is blogs.msdn.com/IE. And they explain lots of things there. And with the new public beta, they're like, oh my god, let's do loads and loads of posts. I swear they've written them all. And there's like pages and pages of stuff.
Yeah.
But they have fixed some stuff, so that's really good. The overall layout of IE7, I do not like at all.
Yeah, you mentioned this.
I don't know whether it's linked because the colours are Windows Vista-like colours with purples and greens and stuff. But I do not like it at all. There is no menu bar for a start. There's no file or anything
like
that.
Which is very strange.
They've got... And what they have is that on your tab line, to the far right, there's little icons like print and that sort of thing. And then there's a tools, and then you've got options and stuff there. But that takes up my tab space. I have like a million tabs open. I don't want, you know, a few inches taken up by a stupid toolbar thing. But the RSS, the way it uses the RSS is really cool. It's really very
nice. This is probably
nice.
The highlight of it, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the RSS design is actually better than some websites' design. And you could actually go onto an RSS feed instead of a website to actually read stuff. But they have stolen it from Mac, and you can get side-by-side comparisons of the RSS from IE7.
As per usual.
And the IE from Mac. RSS is going to be the next big thing in Vista. They're really, you know, XML again, RSS, all
of
this.
They're really trying to push XML and RSS, aren't they?
They are. I mean, it's really cool, so I can't deny them.
Actually, just quickly, I just realised it. We actually told them what RSS is. Some people might not know what RSS is.
Well, if you're listening to this on through the podcast feed, then I hope you do know what RSS is. But yes, it stands for... And no one knows quite what it stands for.
Really simple syndication.
Yeah, I think it stands for really simple syndication. It's a way of having like a news feed, if you like, in a very small format that can be customized because it's XML.
Yeah.
And it saves you going on... You can collect them all up and have RSS readers. And it means you don't have to go on to an actual site to read the news. For instance, my blog has an RSS feed. Dusty Dreams itself has an RSS feed that I don't update. And obviously Life in Hex has an RSS feed because the podcasts are actually RSS, yes. The .xmls. So there's some cool stuff as well. The actual RSS platform in Vista. This doesn't work yet in XP, obviously.
No.
But you will actually have like background scheduled updates and stuff that run passively in the background, even though they're in... So you don't actually have to have IE open, but you have updates coming through that will be ready when you click on IE, but like, hello, you've got some updates on your RSS feeds.
Yes.
There's some new news. You're going to die. A nuclear bomb has been fired. Whatever.
yeah, we get the picture now.
Now, in Windows Vista, IE7 will actually run in protected mode. Now, I hope this is as good as it sounds, because it basically protects the OS, and in my opinion, it's like a sandbox mode for IE. Mm-hmm. Just protects IE from everything else. IE can't do anything. Now, this should eliminate quite a lot of spyware and quite a lot of viruses and things that people get.
Current spyware and viruses.
Yeah, until people find a way around it. But I hope that works and that it's really cool. So, Overall, it's good. Overall, apparently the private betas are actually a million times better than Firefox. So we will see, but obviously Firefox, well, the Mozilla Foundation rather, won't just sit there on their hands going, oh look, IE7's better than us. They'll go the next step.
Yeah.
But what Firefox really need to do is sort out their RAM usage.
Yeah, it's very high.
IE7 is a beta, and it's got tiny RAM usage, just like IE6.
Mm. So, as you're saying, though, about it will run in protected mode and like that, so it will stop spyware, what other security things are there for the entirety of Vista?
Okay, now, there was some news about the antivirus recently, that they've actually... Because they were going to do an antivirus software incorporated into Vista, like a basic thing, like the firewall and everything. But I think that's been cut. I think they're not actually doing that. But one of the things that really interested me was Windows Defender. Now, there's an announcement blog entry at tinyurl.com/9kau4. Now, basically, this is Windows anti-spyware, but it's integrated into the whole security center of Vista. You know, like you've got the firewall and that sort of thing at the moment.
The firewall and the other port forwarding things like that stuff.
And it's really good that they're integrating all of this, and it's going to be part of their Windows 1K Live, which you can beta test at the moment, I think. This is this whole Windows Live thing, if you go to live.com and have a look.
Yeah.
Like the next version of MSN Messenger will be called like Messenger Live.
Yeah, we mentioned that, I think.
Next version of email, which I'm beta testing at the moment, is like Email Live or something like that. It sucks. The Hotmail beta, it's just not good.
No?
If you get a thing saying, would you like to sign up for the beta, do not do it. It is rubbish. They're trying to copy Gmail, but be more bloated. I mean, how does that figure?
That doesn't work.
No. But that will be really cool. Also, it means that it will be updated through Windows Update. And I think this will link, if they do an antivirus, it will all be through the Windows Update, so you won't actually have to update it. It will just update itself.
So it just says itself. And I think they're trying to really appeal to home users who aren't really very computer knowledgeable, who need to keep their system safe.
It's great that they're putting it on by default.
Yes.
Finally, we got a spyware thing by default, and I don't have to go and install stuff on people's
computers. Yeah, because you mean you just leave Microsoft anti-spyware on your
Microsoft. Well, I haven't actually got anything on this one. I've got no anti-spyware on this, because I've never had spyware, so I'm like, I can't be bothered anymore.
Yeah, whatever.
Takes up to my RAM.
That sounds like some really cool stuff, and I'm guessing there's more than just that, though, right?
Yeah, there's other cool gadgets and features and stuff like the sidebar and the next version of Messenger and Hotmail and Office 12 and stuff. Obviously, we haven't got enough time to cover all of these things, as much as we would love to, of course, and bore you all. But go and check out tinyurl.com/7QYKH. That's a link to Paul Thurrott, Win Super Site. He's got some stuff there.
He's a really cool guy.
He's a really cool guy. It's where I got some of this information
Plugs
from.
Plugs to him.
Yes. And also tinyurl.com/D4R87, which is the Microsoft features section of the Windows Vista stuff.
That's all well and good, but for people such as ourselves, as hardcore gamers,
gaming people, yes.
What does it do for us?
Okay, now, I didn't know that there was actually going to be stuff for gamers at all. I thought it was actually going to be rubbish for gaming. But a couple of things that they've got. The first thing, which has been kept a bit quiet, is the Windows Game Explorer. Now, what this is going to be is this is going to have all your metadata.
More XML.
More XML, yeah. Of the metadata of all your games that you have installed, and you'll be able to like click and just run a game. Now, obviously, shortcuts do that for you, but this is just another way of controlling that, because it will also implement parental controls through ESRB,
yep,
which we can turn off. And there will be things like auto-update features. Now, this is very cool.
It's very useful and very cool.
Because there are often patches for games, as we know, and companies, developers, will actually be able to sync their patches with Windows Update, and it will go through this Windows Game Explorer,
which will greatly speed up your patching process. You can do it without even having to look for
it. It'll just go through Windows Update.
Exactly.
So it'll be automatic. Also, they'll be able to like notify you of sequels and stuff, maybe even have like downloadable expansion content automatically through Windows Update.
Maybe quite Steam-esque.
Yeah, a bit like, yeah, this like Microsoft Steam.
Interesting.
So that's really cool. Another really cool thing, which will help me a lot, and certainly like the noobs who I play AoE3 with, like my
not mention any names.
No, not mention any names. But this will be really cool. Is it's called WinSat or WinSat? WinSat, like the WinSat on the mat.
Bzzzt.
Yeah, system, and yes, because it stands for System Assessment Tool.
Bzzzt.
Basically, you will install a game, and if it's compatible with WinSat, it can ask WinSat to say, hey, can you do some vertex shading tests for me? And so while you're installing, WinSat's like, yeah, sure, churn. And it stores all of these as well, and it will report back to the game, and then the game can really finely tune the best settings.
So you get the most out of the game.
So you get the most out of the game, and it, you know, it benchmarks your graphics, and it does it properly. The other thing, and I've seen a small video of this, is DirectX 10.
I ain't seen this video, so might have to show me.
I will show you it. Basically, they're saying that DirectX 10 will completely blow everything out of the water. Xbox 360, nothing compared to DirectX 10.
No.
Xbox 360, as we said, DirectX 9 and a bit.
DirectX 10 is... oh, my God. It's just, oh, wow. So, finally, do you reckon it's worth upgrading to Vista? And if so, what version of Vista? Because I've heard there's a lot of different versions.
There are. I think I will be upgrading, but I will be keeping an XP box somewhere, just because I don't know what this is going to be like. I mean, people always kid themselves, like, oh, I'm never going to upgrade to Longhorn, oh, blah, blah, blah. Never going to upgrade to ME, never going to upgrade to XP, I'm going to stick with 98, 98's great.
Yeah.
They never do, you know, it's complete nonsense, so everyone will upgrade, of course. But yeah, there's lots of different versions. Now, first of all, there's the Starter Edition, which is basically, will probably be shipped by PC World. And that'll be the only way you'll be able to get it is through PC World.
It's like a massively cheap, stupidly cheap.
It's basically low cost. There's no entertainment stuff on there. It's for first time users of a PC, single users, no network, and maybe an internet access. But yeah, so what you'll probably do is like start with the Starter Edition. There'll be like constant like, this is not available in the Starter Edition. Would you like to upgrade to the Home Premium Edition?
Yeah.
So the next one is the Home Edition, which is like single PC users. And that's basically where it all starts with Windows Vista.
Very,
it starts with
the it's kind edition. Of like the basic version of Vista. Yeah.
It's not equivalent of Home Edition for Windows XP.
No.
Far from it. This is not at all the Home Edition Windows XP. And then you have the Home Premium, which is like the entertainment thing. And then on a separate branch, in the same way that you have Home Professional for XP, you have Professional for Vista.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is pretty much XP Pro.
It's basically everything in the system.
Yeah,
it's no add-on bells. It's just the full system.
It's just the full system, and it's got the extra networking stuff that you might use in an environment.
Yes,
in a network environment. And then you have Small Business, which is Pro plus like backups and networking, extra networking stuff, and that sort of thing.
So
it's going to have a good backup program by default.
Was it?
Yeah, so long as you get the Small Business or above, you'll be able to have a backup program. The next one is Enterprise Edition, which is Pro. Plus the bit from Small Businesses, plus multi-language. You'll be able to have full volume encryption, which is really good. You'll be able to encrypt your whole hard drive, essentially. Yep. And it's basically suitable for large businesses. So
corporations.
You know, so corporations that have computers in offices or whatever, you'll be using the Enterprise Edition, probably.
Yes.
Now, the last one, which is you just know is the one that we're going to be getting.
Obviously.
Is the Ultimate Edition. Now, this is basically Home Premium plus Pro, plus a game performance tweaker.
As we mentioned.
Well, this is also an extra bit as well. This will actually tweak stuff and that sort of thing. There's rumours that it'll have a podcast creation software on it.
Which could be really interesting.
Cough, Mac, cough.
Well, yeah. But yeah.
GarageBand and that. It'll also have the entertainment software, obviously. It's basically the full performance, full thing for gamers.
It's everything with bells and whistles and
definitely
smelly stuff on it.
So, in answer to your original thing, do you think we will be upgrading? I will be upgrading.
Eventually.
Well, when it comes out, I will upgrade automatically.
Yeah, just to get one.
Yeah, but I will still have an XP box there. Do you think you will upgrade straight away?
I don't know. Probably not straight away. I'll probably sit with XP for quite a while, maybe like a year.
Mm.
Because, I mean, I remember when XP first came out, I was still an ME. And ME was fine.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot supported XP yet.
Yeah,
a lot of things were still like ME only. From like MEM
because XP
backwards.
Was based on NT, and so therefore
exactly.
They had a different architecture.
So,
architecture.
But once things for XP started becoming more mainstream, I got upgraded to XP. And as you said, who isn't actually eventually going to upgrade to Vista?
Okay, so that's basically rounds up the Windows Vista section. I hope you enjoyed the Windows Vista talk, and obviously, if there's any more updates and things, we will obviously be keeping you informed. And when the public preview comes out, hopefully in April,
we'll do impressions.
We'll do first
review.
Impressions and stuff. So that's about that, really.
Wraps up the show.
Yeah, we've got plugs and shouts.
Plugs and shouts and some other stuff.
So some plugs.
Plugs to the hockey team that I went to go and see last night, our local hockey team. Although we lost, which kind of sucked, but they ruled because they scored in the last second, which was very cool.
Uh huh.
Also, plugs to, well, I kind of guess it's a plug, isn't it?
Isn't
it's a bit, rather big plug.
Yes.
To Channel 4, which is a TV station over here in the UK, for making a new show called The IT Crowd.
The IT Crowd, same thing.
Which is, it's hilarious, isn't it?
It is really good. We urge everyone to watch it. I mean, if you're not in England and you missed it, then you can cough obtain it somewhere. So that's really cool. Go and check that out.
So try and find that on the internet somewhere, if you can, maybe. I don't
also,
know.
Also, a big plug to Binary Revolution.
Massive plug.
We love you. And you can go and visit binrev.com. And thanks, basically, for mentioning us as Side of the Day.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Really? We were much appreciative of that. Yeah. And
hi, Black Ratchet and Stank Dog and Strom. And well, we said that.
And everyone else. Everyone else at DDP.
Yep. And thanks again for putting us on DDP Hack Radio.
Very grateful indeed.
Any shouts?
I've got some shouts, I guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her if she wanted me to mention this, and she said yeah. So shouts to Kaz and the two Emilys who I went to the ice hockey with the other night.
Yep.
Very good night out. We're definitely going to go next week.
I'm just injuring myself here.
Just poking yourself with your microphone. Don't worry about it. He's going to be all right, ladies and gentlemen. So plugs to Kaz and Emily and Emily. Very good night out. Thanks a lot for that. It was really good fun.
I'll do a plug to the abstruse one for being our first emailer that we don't personally know.
Yeah, I mean, we got
a weird way to say it, but plugs to him anyway for emailing us.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to some more emails, hopefully.
I don't think he's got a website, so we can't actually give him a website address.
No, I mean, we checked on his BinRev thing.
Card profile.
But we couldn't actually find one, so.
No, so
if you've got one, emails, and we'll plug it for you.
So, that's about it.
That wraps up episode 8 of Life in Hex.
Horror. I hope you've enjoyed this feature-filled...
Unedited. This is 1 hour, 22 minutes and 46 seconds.
Oh, dear. Quick, end it now. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye. I'm Gelada.
And I'm Saffron.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
2 weeks' time.
That reminds me, quick apology for not having the Winter English show out.
Yeah, we did put it on the website, though, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. It was pathetic and horrible.
Well, we did it, and it was all right.
It was all right, but it was...
the quality was really poor.
Roman's voice was screwed on Skype because we did like a Skype loop, and so we were getting echo and stuff.
And it just didn't work out too well. And plus, it wasn't all that great, was it? I mean, it wasn't anything special.
But we will get Prone on anyway. Very sorry for not putting
you on. Yeah, we'll get you on maybe next show or the show after.
When
whatever.
I get it sorted, when I get an extra mic or something.
Yeah, I'll get a proper mic.
Maybe I could go out and buy it more. They're quite expensive. Maybe I'll...
So yet again, I'm Saffron.
And I'm Gelato.
And this has been Life and Hecht Episode 8.
Hello. Why on earth I said sign on?
I don't know.
Bye bye.
I'll be the same. Oh, we've done this before though, I remember.
Yeah, we'll stop.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Life and Hex. I'm Gelato. I'm Seth.
yes, Gelato, you are Gelato. The popping business is like my dad's company.
Who are still
they,
on.
They used to stick on 98 all the time. Even when like XP and they're like, oh no, 95's fine. we need XP.
We're alright. 341 is alright. Who needs XP? Wait, who needs best stuff?
Let me fire up my DOS shell.
Yes, I know what the goons. And the whole piece of paper time is not. And he works twice a day. I remember his listeners that like 3 years ago.
Oh, so fun.
Good times.
It's almost like you need some of that corny panpipe music in the background. Energetic.
Did you just do the Zelda theme tune?
No, I was just making it.